Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What if interest rates change? What if we can't sell our products at this price? What if construction prices change? What if town planning doesn't come through? Then you have to be able to weather that storm together.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this episode, we speak with Tristan Angelini, whose background in tiles and carpentry helped him find success as a property developer. Keep listening to discover the story of his first property development, the importance of finding a skill to specialize in, and the difficulties that came with working in a partnership. Following the footsteps of his family, Angelini became involved in the property industry at a very young age, and since then has been making a passive income through commercial and residential development. He shares where they are located.
I'm a property development manager located in the western suburbs of Melbourne. Day-to-day operations is project management and development management. How I got into the industry, I guess it's through a bit of a family lineage in the property market. The accolades that I've achieved in the last, 12 years, I've created my own property development business, property management, development management, and construction business. So I've got a construction background, registered commercially and domestic, which has given me flexibility to really narrow down my construction costs in developing. I first got into the property development game at a very young age. I was sort of thrown into the deep end by my father, who virtually told me that you've got no other choice. You need to, whatever money you've got saved, you need to buy a property. I get that. That's coming from my Italian background. We're very much encouraged to invest before we even before we go travel or move out or anything like that.
Angelini loves his career as a property developer due to the versatility of his daily activities.
Well, day to day is obviously the developing property. Consisting of, project schedules, feasibility studies, project delivery, managing construction contracts, trying to get sales, speaking to agents about selling the property strategies. So on the day-to-day, there's a very broad range being a development manager. That's why I love the industry, to be honest with you.
Yeah, excellent. And roughly, how many projects would you say you've got concurrently running within the company?
There's some that's in our personal portfolio, and there's also some that are actually for clients that we're managing. At the moment, in our personal portfolio, we've got about 10, ranging from small to medium, I'd say, in domestic and also into low-rise commercial. And then four other developments in project management and development management, we've got about one being very large.
It was natural for Angelini to go down the property development path, seeing as his family has worked in the industry for a long time.
I grew up in the western suburbs of Melbourne, a place called Werribee. At the time, it's probably about I think it's about 27 kilometres from the Melbourne CBD. Very blue-collar area. My family has been there since the 1920s. Originally started off in market gardens and farming, and eventually went into construction, building and construction, carpentry, and into property development today.
Having been somewhat of a rebellious kid, Angeline dropped out of school and started working full-time when he was just 16.
At the time, Werribee was a bit of a rough area to grow up. So my father didn't want me to go to school anywhere near Werribee. So he wanted me to, so he actually shipped me to school out in Geelong. So I used to catch the bus to school. I went to Kirinya International College. And it used to take me about 50 minutes to get to school every day and then catch the bus back home. But unfortunately, I was a bit of a rebellious child, and I ended up getting kicked out at 17, and I was thrown into the workforce.
Angeline's first job was at his family business, where he delivered tiles.
I was a bit lost as a young'un. My family had a tile business, and I was actually working there doing deliveries on a truck because obviously I was unskilled. I was young and I was strong, and that's all I could actually do. So I was actually delivering tiles for a good portion of my youth.
Working on the truck meant that Angeline was exposed to property development at an early age.
By working on the truck, I got to obviously deliver to all different types of job sites. So I was able to see how different methods of construction were getting, really got me interested in construction itself, especially domestic homes, how the process was. And I went to all different types of designs, all different parts of Melbourne as well. So it was good that I was able to float around for that period of time. And then I decided I wanted to try my luck at some carpentry. I worked for my cousin who's a carpenter. So, my grandfather on my mother's side was a builder and a carpenter. And my cousin was a carpenter. So I managed to get an apprenticeship with him. I was basically had two jobs at one stage, learning carpentry and also delivering tiles.
Having made many connections through the industry, Angelini was able to save on the typical expenses when he bought and developed his first property.
After carpentry, during I was working on the truck and in carpentry, with the first piece of land that I was able to purchase, I was able to get a lot of building materials off different job sites that I was working on. So I made friends with the supervisors, and I was able to say, look, I'm building my own house. Can I take the leftover bricks? Can I take these leftover timbers? And they sort of said, well, yeah, no, that's not a problem. We're actually going to throw them out anyway. So I used to deliver tiles and then put bricks on the back of my truck and then deliver them to my job site.
That is being extremely resourceful. That's awesome. How long were you, being in carpentry for before you started getting into your own property?
Well, I've been in carpentry ever since last year. So we eventually established a carpentry company that had about 25 employees at our largest capacity. Ended up selling out and just concentrating more on our property development and construction.
So how long was that? Yeah, it's last year was 2017. When did you get into carpentry?
It sort of stopped and started. So I ended up leaving my cousin because he ended up getting a job somewhere else. So I basically moved. I basically stopped carpentry, and I was able to get my apprenticeship at a later date. Finish my apprenticeship at a later date. So probably the last 8 years.
Working in carpentry helped Angelini learn about the structural elements of a house, which in turn aided his development career.
The best thing about a carpentry is that you get to know the structural elements of a house. That was important for my knowledge to understand the structure and how the frame and the skeleton of a house is made.
Despite being thrown into the industry without even graduating from high school, Angelini is extremely passionate about his job.
Look, I think that I'm deeply passionate about real estate and about building and construction. Ever since I was a kid, I guess all I did was draw pictures of houses. I've always been into art and designing. So Mum said that I was always a good drawer, and I just loved to design floor plans and houses when I was a kid. So I think that I would have gotten down that track. When I was in high school, I wanted to be an architect, but unfortunately, I didn't listen in school and I wasn't able to get past too well in maths. So, I had to start from the ground up.
Angelini's first property investment and development project was on a small piece of land, which he intended to subdivide.
So my first investment property I purchased when I was, I think, 16 or 17, around the end of 16, early 17. I bought back then they were called smart blocks. They were very, very small. It was 420 square metres. Now that's probably the largest size that you can get in a subdivision. When I purchased this block of land, a lot of people were saying, you can't even build a house on there. It's so small, you've got no backyard. And I said, well, that's the only thing I can afford. And at the time, that was $70,000. That was my first investment property. And it was a little subdivision.
As Angelini was only 16 years old at the time, his father became the guarantor for his loan. And by the time he was 18, he was able to obtain construction finances from the bank.
What happened is my father was basically guarantor on the loan. I put the deposit money down, and then I had to pay my father off over 2 years. So in that time, I was working full time because I got kicked out of school. So I had nothing else to do. I just started. I was just working that whole time, so I was able to live at home and save all my pennies. I paid the block off. I had an unincoming title for the time that I was 18, and then that's when I went to the bank again, and I was able to obtain the construction finance. I can get my dad to vouch for me because he made sure that every paycheck that came in, he was the first one to receive it.
Coming up after the break, we'll delve further into Angelini's property journey, where he shares the conclusion of his first property investment.
I was 22 years old and I just wanted to go overseas with my mates and enjoy myself. I sold the house for $355,000 at the time.
His experience with the property market during the GFC.
We were looking at houses that were worth $800,000 at the time, and a year later they were worth $400,000. So it really woke me up that, look, the property market isn't always on the up and up. It definitely is cyclical.
His worst development moment.
I'm trying to think of the worst development moment I've probably had was getting involved in a partnership or a joint venture, which my partner wasn't in line with my vision.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Property Invest Story. Hey podcast listeners, are you interested in small investments with big profits? If the answer is yes, then register your interest at propertyinveststory.com. When you sign up, you'll receive deals at wholesale price, which I've negotiated with the vendor. These deals generate positive cash returns from day one, and I only send these out exclusively to my community. To find out more, visit propertyinveststory.com. Now back to the show. Angelini accredits his father to much of his success, as without him, Angelini might not have saved and spent his money on an investment property.
I look back at it and I remember vividly at the time I just wanted to buy a car. I'm like, I've got this money. This is fantastic. I want to buy a car. At the time I wanted to do it up and show off. And he said, "Hey, you're an idiot. Trust me, that car," and he taught me that the car is always going to depreciate in value, but his land will go up in value. And I'm so glad that I did listen to him. Well, I didn't have a choice, really. I had to listen to him.
Angelini ended up not dividing his first block of land and instead built a house on it by himself.
At the time, I was working for my cousin doing carpentry, and I was also working in the truck, doing tile deliveries. Basically, I didn't have a builder's license or anything like that, so I went owner builder, obtained construction finance from the bank, and I pretty much built everything in the house myself. I can comfortably say in that one house, I touched every single brick in that house. So 5 o'clock in the morning, unloading bricks, stacking them around the house. Me and my cousin put the frame up together. Any sort of leftover timbers that I could get from site that we used as noggins. It took me, probably 12 to 14 months to build, but that was because at the time I was cash poor. I could only get a loan from the bank of about $110,000, and I had to make the rest work myself, so labour was all done by me, I guess.
With all his experience now, Angelini believes he could finish the same project in under half a year.
At the moment, if I was to contract that house at the moment, I'd probably finish it in 5 to 6 months. It's a single story house, 3-bedroom. It was a very nice house at the end of it, but pretty stock standard. Just a hip and truss, hip and valley roof. Just a single story. 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, but I would be smashing that house out now in 5 months' time.
Angelini sold the property in 2008 and travelled to the US shortly after.
I actually sold the property in 2008, so I kept it for a few years. I lived in there. I was able to get the first homeowner's grant, and I think at the time in 2008, it might have been 2007. I think that was just when the financial crisis, I'm not sure if it was the financial crisis. That was a year afterwards, so maybe 2008. Yes, I sold it in 2008, and that's when I travelled over to the United States. And I remember that was just when the financial crisis was happening.
What was the reason for the travel to US?
Well, so basically, after with that one house, I lived in there for 12 months. Probably 2 years. I was able to put it on the market because, I just wanted to travel and enjoy myself and see the world a little bit. Because I did work very hard and, I was 22 years old and I just wanted to go overseas with my mates and enjoy myself. I sold the house for $355,000 at the time.
Wow. That's a good return.
So yeah, it was. So I was able to build up a bit of equity and then see what I was going to do the next stage, the next stage. And that's when I ran into, ran overseas and I really seen the global financial crisis put a lot of pressure on homeowners, which changed my strategy completely. I was very used to a property market on the increase all the time. 2002, 2004, I was like basically saying 2006, I'm like, this property market's crazy. I've been in, looking at property ever since I was 16 and I'm 22 and the market keeps going up and up. And that's when I went, when I traveled overseas to the United States, I was still very into property, but I was able to drive around with friends that I have in the area in the US, and we're looking at houses that were worth $800,000 at the time, and a year later they were worth $400,000. So it really woke me up that, look, the property market isn't always on the up and up. It definitely is cyclical.
Despite the success of his first investment property, Angelini definitely had his worst moments when he deviated from his property goals.
You know, being young and ambitious and thinking that I'm, trying to, spread my risk a bit. I thought that it might be good to venture into the share market. And I thought I had it all down packed. I'd done my research. I think I bought at the time, might have been BHP or Rio Tinto shares. And I thought, oh, these things are going to keep going up and up. And, I was reading the paper every day. And I can't remember how much money I lost at the time, but it was a fair bit of money. And this is probably 2006, 2007. I virtually just threw away. I just got rid of all my shares. I said, I can't keep up with this. I don't know what's happening. It's too volatile for me. And that's when I really stuck to real estate and property.
Angelini realized rather than diversify his expertise in different fields, it would be better to specialize in one particular industry and reap his gains from one source.
I know that obviously being a young entrepreneur, you want to make money wherever you can. It's about ideas and floating ideas around. But as I get older, and I think it's being specialized in one particular industry, and even narrowing that down, I think being an expert in something, you got more chances of making a good living than spreading yourself too far. That even goes with other businesses in other industries and just being an investor in general. I mean, look at, a lot of the, sometimes people can, make a right move. I just see it as a bit of a gamble. I looked at myself really and I said, where am I making, I assessed myself a good 5 years ago and I said, where am I making 80% of my money? I'm spending 20% of my time, and that was in property development. So, I was investing my money into real estate and, I was only spending 20% of my time. Whether 80% of my time was only making me 20% of my money at that particular moment in my life.
As for his worst property development moment, Angelini believes it was when he joined a rather uncooperative partnership.
I'm trying to think of the worst development moment I probably had was getting involved in a partnership or a joint venture, which my partner wasn't in line with my vision. That was probably the most, it wasn't a bad investment. I guess it was choosing the right partners. Obviously, we had a direction of going, of investing into a property to develop. However, sometimes other people don't have the same funds as you, or to put an equal amount into a certain property. So I would have, that's what's made me really try and avoid a lot of partnerships or choosing my partners carefully in all of my developments.
As a result, Angelini learned to find people who are committed purely to a business relationship.
Basically, we wanted to, it's always important to say, okay, look, we're going to get into bed together. If I'm going to put 50% in, this is how much money that we need to come up with. And once we start construction, this is how much money we need to come up with. And the relationship doesn't work if one person is coming up with the money and the other person, for whatever reason it may be, can't come up with that money and has committed themselves into a relationship, a business relationship. So that's probably my worst, development story.
And what happened to that development? Did you proceed with building, or did it just end?
Oh, well, the best thing about development, which and property, is that it's always got an asset value. So, you know, we ended up coming to, it was an amicable, you know, partnership. I said, look, the relationship's only going to work whether it's either you buy me out or I buy you out. And that's what we did, and we remain friends to this day. However, it really put me, made me aware of a position that you might be able, that you might put yourself into. With exposing yourself, you know, you have to make sure that your partners are always going to have that, you know, you got to know that they're going to be in that journey from the start until the finish, and obviously make their contributions as well. At the start of every project, you know, everyone's high-fiving each other and we're going to make so much money and it's going to be fantastic, but a lot of times people don't take into consideration the what-ifs, you know, what if, you know, interest rates change. What if we can't sell our products at this price? You know, what if construction prices change? What if town planning doesn't come through? And you have to be able to, you know, weather that storm together.
So, inspired by Angelini's story, we'll keep the conversation going in a future episode, where Angeline shares the strategy changing aha moment.
So that really sort of changed my strategy into trying to buy something and develop it straight away instead of having it sitting there.
The best advice he'd like to share?
Best advice would be definitely is to stick to what you know and become an expert at it.
How younger investors should take advantage of today's information age?
You know, from a click of a button at your fingertips, you can listen to any sort of information that you want to. And I think the new generation should take advantage of that.
And that's next time in a future episode of Property Invest Story.
Also, are you interested in small investments with big profits? If the answer is yes, simply text me your email address to 0499881040 to register your interest. When you sign up, you'll receive deals at wholesale price, which I've negotiated with the vendor. These deals generate positive cash returns from day one and only send these out exclusively to my community. To find out more, text me your email address on 0499881040.
Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.